Good morning and welcome to the first of an online service for Abbots Cross Congregational. It's a bit of an unusual experience for me. I know numbers do tend to dip anyway whenever the pastor is away. I kind of think today's a little bit ridiculous for that. Only joking, of course, but we do appreciate you tuning in online. We know there's others from churches as well, perhaps, who don't have the facility for streaming, and so you're very welcome in joining with us this morning as well. Don't worry, I'm used to nobody laughing at my jokes, so this is just normal for me anyway. But in all seriousness, we do know that many are watching online who don't really know how to process these days, who don't really know how to come to terms with the changes that are developing so rapidly. Life at the moment, many are saying to me, is just surreal. At times we almost think like it's a bit of a dream and we expect to wake up and life will be back to normal, but unfortunately that's not the way that it is. It is the reality that we're facing. And so I'm thankful that we are able to fix our focus at this time this morning on a God who does not change, on a God who is powerful, on a God who is in control, on a God who does care. And so as I was preparing for this moment this morning, I was thinking about times in the past as well where just through ministry I've been able to come alongside those who perhaps with sudden changes of illness have suddenly their life is very, very different. Suddenly the things that they were used to doing, they were no longer able to do, or suddenly they were housebound. And so this is now a situation at this point in time that many of us are facing. As many are slowing down as they're out of work, others are ramping up. Others who work on the front line in the NHS, life is also very different and very scary, and we are also thinking and praying for you at this time. Life is being impacted for everybody in one way or another, and so the days that we're living in are drastically changing. Many of us will have loved ones, perhaps, who will experience loss at this time. And so it is the reason as well that there has been a call for today to be a day of prayer internationally. And so at 12 o'clock or whatever point at the time of today that you can, we're encouraged as Christians across the globe to be interceding and to be praying to the Lord for our world, for the situation. Really, as believers, we're called to pray without ceasing anyway. And so every day really will and should be an international day of prayer as we do seek the Lord at these times, as we do lift up loved ones around us, as we do lift up our own hearts as well. Perhaps it's even a time where many are considering their own standing before God, and so do be praying as well that God would draw close to himself at this time those who could be brought into the kingdom, those who could put their trust in Jesus and find him to be the perfect and most wonderful of saviors. And so I appreciate as well many who have contacted me as well, saying that they're praying for the Lord's help for me. I would also say that you listening online face a challenge this morning, an extra challenge of distractions, an extra challenge where you have a mute button this time that you can hit. Do not hit that button. I'll know. But do pray for yourselves, because you have a challenge today to fix your attention as well, to engage in worship this morning no matter where you are. We will open our service now in prayer. There is much to pray for. I don't want you just to listen to me. I want to lead you in prayer so that you yourself are also praying at this time, lifting up before the Lord perhaps things on your own heart and in your own situations. And so let's bow in prayer together now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we have access to the throne of grace and to the throne of mercy. We have access right now, Father, where you are not too busy to hear each of our prayers. In fact, it pleases you, Lord, when we come to you in prayer. And Father, we have much to come to you about, Lord, as we have no idea what today or tomorrow holds. You do. We take strength this morning, Father, in reminding ourselves of who you are. We look, Father, to the past, and we've seen your hand at work in ways that have been so surprising to us in the past, and so we also look to you now. We do lift up this global situation, this global crisis before you, Father, and ask for your mercy, Lord. We ask for your hand to be very clearly at work, Father, from one country to the next. We pray, Father, as well for your church at this time, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, that, Father, we would be used by you to be the hands and feet and voice of Christ, bringing compassion, bringing love. Father, we do pray as well, Lord, for each of us. Lord, you know different ways that we've been impacted so far or that we might be. We pray, Father, for those who are working on the front lines, who, Father, are working in hospital wards, and, Father, in many other ways through the healthcare system, and who are nervous, who are scared. Father, thank you for them. Thank you for the knowledge and the talents and the desire that you gave them to serve our society in the care of the ill and the sick. Pray your blessing and your protection upon them, Father. We think, Lord, of the young people of our church and our communities as well, Lord, who have faced this week, Lord, something that they too never would have expected, Lord, this disruption in their education with exams being canceled, Father, with the abruptness of it. We lift them up before you, Father, as they would be discouraged or concerned at this time as well. And we ask, Lord, that you'd minister to them. We pray, Father, for those many hundreds of thousands of families who are impacted with loved ones who have already tested positive for this. We pray, Father, for those who have already experienced the loss of loved ones and even, Father, of not being able to spend time in the final hours and days with their loved ones. Father, would you comfort and would you draw near? We pray, Father, for our governments as well, Lord, as they have difficult decisions to make and as there's so many opinions and so many ideas, and really, Father, nobody seems to really know. Would you give wisdom, and would you give clarity, and would you give discernment to them, Father? And Father, for ourselves here as a church fellowship as well, Lord, would you equip us? Would you minister to us, Father? Would you help us, Lord, to respond in wisdom, in love, and in ways that point to the splendor and the wonder and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, also for the service this morning, we do ask, Lord, would you help us to set aside all that would distract? Would you help us, Father, that our hearts would be prepared to receive your voice, your power, your truth, your light into our hearts this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Obviously, there is no praise time this morning. At this point in time, we have as only a couple of people in the building to enable this webcast to happen. And yet, praise is a very important aspect for us as believers. It's a huge way that the Lord uses to lift our hearts, to lift our minds, to lift our spirits. I'd encourage you then as well to maybe, if you're online, to find your favorite playlist with good praise songs. If you're a CD person, I know some of you might still be a cassette tape person as well, find your favorites. Find those songs that just minister to your soul. And I'd encourage you as well in these times to be filling your ears with praise to God. The hymns that we would have been singing this morning, I'd love to just read out some of the verses from each of them to help focus, and I want you to really listen and to let the truth of what I'll read just penetrate into your heart and to help your eyes to lift higher, to lift to the throne of grace. And so we would have been singing these words this morning as well. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We also would have been singing one entitled My Troubled Soul. It goes like this: My troubled soul, why so weighed down? You were not made to bear this heavy load. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Jesus cares. He cares for you. Jesus cares. He cares for you. And all your worrying won't help you make it through. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord and trust again in the promise of his love. Praise that mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, the lifter of my head. Praise the rock of my salvation. All my days are in his faithful hands. My anxious heart, why so upset? When trials come, how you so easily forget to cast your burdens upon the Lord. Jesus cares. He cares for you. The very first verse as well that I read out there, it's from a hymn called In Times Like These. It was written in 1943 when a woman called Ruth Jones was reading her Bible in the midst of World War II, when millions were dying, when economies were collapsing, when days were incredibly dark. Food was being rationed, and yet when Ruth was reading Scripture, she was led to write the first verse of In Times Like These as well in the chorus. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. These are unusual times, to say the least. It's an understatement at that. But in times like these, folks, we do need a Savior. Praise the Lord, in times like these, there is a Savior waiting. He will not cast you out. If you come to him this morning, either for the first time or if you come to him as one of the children of God today, he is a firm rock. Anchoring in him will see you through. And so our last one as well, with we want to challenge our own hearts at this time to praise the Lord, to see the blessings in the midst even of the seeming chaos too. And so the hymn, When Upon Life's Billows, also known as Count Your Blessings, goes like this: When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Hopefully some of the truth of these hymns have penetrated your heart, have uplifted you as well. What we will look to more than hymns, though, is the Word of God. And so if you've got a copy of God's Word with you now, I'd invite you to open up to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at a message based on Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9, as you look that up. The title for this morning's message is called Practice the Peace of God. Practice the Peace of God. And so you can follow along if you don't have a copy of God's Word in front of you as well. Reading from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. And this is God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Finishing the reading of God's word at the end of verse 9 there. And so spending a bit of time allowing and seeking God's word to minister into our hearts from this passage that we have just read out in Philippians, verse 4 that we read out, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. It's one of the main themes of the book of Philippians, which is a short but incredibly encouraging and an incredibly focusing book. Rejoice in him. One big thing right away from the passage that we're looking at. Paul did not tell his readers to be happy. Did you notice that? He didn't say, be happy. Again, I say be happy. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. He encouraged them to rejoice always. And so rejoicing is an action. It's a decision that we make. It's not an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. It can come and it can go, and it's very much at times connected to our circumstances. But rejoicing is an action. It's an action that focuses us as well on the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing is about Jesus. Rejoicing is about making much of him, of praising him. Rejoicing is about delighting in who the Lord is, in what he has done for all who have come to him for salvation. It's about rejoicing in what he has promised also for those who have come to him. Rejoicing has nothing to do with our circumstances. Rejoicing even has nothing to do with this world. It's a connection to the eternal. It's a connection to Christ himself. The Apostle Paul's circumstances were dire when he was writing these words even. It's easy to maybe to say, well, it's easy for you to say, Paul, rejoice, but you don't know what I'm facing right now. In writing these words, Paul was in prison, in chains. He was being persecuted. He was facing the threat of execution. Paul knew what it was to rejoice in dire circumstances. And so rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice is God's word for us today. Whether we feel happy or not, whether our circumstances are wonderful or whether we're in dire straits, every single day on this earth, followers of Jesus are called to keep our perspective fixed on him and to rejoice and to delight in him. Verses 5 to 9 continue, and they unpack this rejoicing perspective a little bit further as well. And so what we read in verses 5 to 9 is that this inner joy exists because of our connection, the approach that we have to Christ, to God. It's because we are in relationship with God if we have been born again. It's because that is not going to change. That cannot change. And we also see practically that that should impact how we relate to others around us at this time also. Verse 5, your reasonableness. It drives at gentleness. How we interact with others at this time should be gentle. Now, if you go into the toilet roll aisle of any supermarket, you're not going to see very much gentleness at the moment. Believers, we are called to be known for our gentleness, for our reasonableness. In fact, it's connected as well to the fact that Jesus can return at any time. Since the very moment that Christ ascended in the clouds to heaven and had told the disciples, as I'm leaving, so I will return, Paul reminds us again, that is at hand, it is near. That's a reality to count on at this time also. And so in each day of our lives, we have two choices, really. You can worry, and you can be anxious about your circumstances, or Paul says you can keep your focus on God in prayer. It's not that we shouldn't feel concern. It's not that we shouldn't recognize how serious things are, especially at this time. But instead of dwelling on it, instead of spiraling downwards, we're called to talk to the Lord about it. We're called to prayer. We're called to tell him our specific needs and to thank him for all that he has done and will do. We are called to count our blessings with rejoicing. What a perspective that is. I don't read too many news articles at the moment that encourage that. And yet that's what the timeless truth of God's word is telling us to do as believers. It's reminding us, you can trust him. You can trust him. One difference between concern and worry is that worry excludes any trust in God. It just looks at the trial, it just looks at the problem, and it just sees, well, here's me and the difficulty. That's worry. Concern is different because concern also sees God in the midst. Yes, we still see the trial, but we see the greatness of God in us, through us, in front of us, behind us. We bring into play our trust in the only one who will never let us down, in the only one who is sovereign and can work for good through this. When you choose prayer over anxiety, the peace of God guards your soul in ways that we will never understand. To reinforce the point, the root of anxiety is unbelief in God's goodness towards us, or it's doubting God's power at work in our circumstances. We're encouraged this morning that prayer is a medicine for worry. It's a It's a decision that we have to make. Again and again and again each day. Will I worry about that? Or will I take it to the Lord in prayer? Let me say again that our feelings and emotions will not always be in sync with our attitude of rejoicing. They'll be slow to catch up. Rejoicing is still an action, though, and an action that is driven by our faith in God. Feelings will be up and down at this time. We will absolutely feel at times scared and nervous and uncertain. But keep practicing rejoicing in God. Keep praying. Keep practicing the peace of God. Keep giving thanks to God as well. Pray with thanksgiving when you feel like it. Pray with thanksgiving, especially when you don't feel like it. Verse 7 is a wonderful verse. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And verse 8 drives this perspective home a little bit further again. Paul says, finally, he's giving one last big message for the book of Philippians here. One final big thing, he's saying, fix your thoughts on. He encourages us that our minds and thoughts are a battleground. We're challenged to discipline ourselves, to focus on things that are true, that are honorable, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely and commendable. I'm not going to get into explaining what these six worthy things are, but it strikes me that by using this big list, Paul is really trying to make a point here. He's really trying to get us to sit up and to listen. I see these six descriptions and really one thing, or to put it better, one person comes to mind, and it's Christ. The pure one. The honorable one. The lovely one. To lift our minds, to fix our minds, to fix our thoughts on the Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so verse 9 is crucial in light of that. It's a call to action, to put this into practice. He says, what you've heard, what you've saw, what you've learned, put it into practice today, tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that. Then the God of peace will be with you. We do love to quote verse 7 about the peace of God surpassing understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. But the peace of God is tied to rejoicing in Christ. It's tied to the decisions that we make of what we will focus on. It's tied to whether or not we practice the truth. We can't cherry pick. We cannot take verse 7 and claim that as a promise if we ignore verses 8 and 9. And that is the thing about turning to God. When we do so, we find unspeakable encouragement in Him. He works in us and through us to change our reactions, to change our actions, to change our thoughts. The Lord promises to change and to transform us. He started the work, He will see it through to completion. Sometimes that might include a change in our circumstances. But oftentimes, maybe God wants to use our circumstances to change us, to bring about a change within our heart, within our mindset, within our character. Our passage in Philippians started with a focus on the Lord, a call to consciously rejoice in the Lord always, and then it moved on to practical ways that we can continue in that joy. This morning we need to fix our eyes on Him, to rejoice in Him, to wrestle our anxiety and our fears and our worry and bring them to the throne of His grace and mercy, to lay them down at His throne. And then there's the difference that it will make in our lives. It won't mean that we are skipping around our own garden because we are socially isolating. It doesn't mean we skip whistling zippity-doo-dah. It's deeper than that. This is about joy, not happiness. By practicing joy, though, our emotions will often be in a better place. Nor does it mean sticking our head in the sand and just thinking, well, power of positive thinking, I'll just fix my mind then on positive things and that'll change my circumstances. That's not what Scripture teaches. It does mean, though, that what we fix our thoughts on will either pressurize and crush us, or if it's the Lord, we'll find strength and we'll find refuge. It will involve choosing to practice the peace of God. It does pass all understanding. We can't explain it. We can't understand it. But when we embrace and practice this truth, the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Our joy is based on who Jesus is, and He's not changing. It is based on what He has done, and that's finished. On the cross, it was done. It's based on the fact that Christ is alive now, ever living and interceding for us with a promise that He's coming for His bride one day. We can rejoice that Christ's victory over sin and death is an eternal one, and it cannot change. And so, like I said, I'm not trying in any shape or form to ignore the daily developments. But it's being wise in these days to not let the negative constantly dominate our thoughts. To not always constantly be in conversation with people about the darkness of these days. If you sit in front of the screen half the day constantly watching the numbers rise, if you spend the other half of the day talking with people about the despair of it, you're going to find very quickly that you fall into despair. You're going to find very quickly a pressure and a depression on your mind. So do not ignore it, but don't fixate on it. Don't spiral with it. Follow the guidance to protect one another. As a church family, we encourage you absolutely that this is a dire time that we need to all do what we can do, which oftentimes right now is meaning only leaving the house for the absolute essential. We are encouraging you to stay active physically in whatever way you can. We are urging you to find ways to build in new routine if you find that your routine has changed. We are encouraging you to eat and to sleep well. The changes will very likely put a huge strain on very many people's mental health and spiritual health. And so let's be wise in seeking to safeguard our mental health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, as well as our physical health in these days. And so in these days to come, we as a church, we're trying to find different ways that keep us connected one with each other, ways that will encourage us to guard our hearts in peace and to keep our eyes fixed on Him. And so, believers, let's fix our minds on the positive and on the higher things. If our pace in life has slowed, let's redeem the time to say, well, I want to read the whole book of Philippians. Or I'm going to use my time maybe to read the whole New Testament. Or maybe even you've never read the entire Bible before. If you're in the category that now has more time, redeem it. Use it. Focus yourself on a task of getting into God's Word. If you're in a category that life is going to be much more chaotic and hectic, build moments into your life where you can continue in prayer and in reading to ground yourself, to anchor yourself in God's Word as well. If we've never really had a conversation much with family or neighbors about deeper, real things of life, people at the moment are crying out for these conversations. People at the moment are very much aware that normal life is disappearing, and they're very much aware of the threat of death. The distractions that have so often blinded our culture are slowly being stripped away to see what is really important at this time. Let's pray for one another all the more in these days. Let's minister to one another. Let's pick up the phone to those around us as well and show an interest in their lives, show a concern for one another. Each September, at the start of the discipleship class that I run, I encourage each class at the start of the year to say, we never know what trials or storms are going to come into our life. We're called to continually, therefore, work on our foundational understanding of the Word of God so that when trials come, as they have now, that we will be found to be standing firm on truth, on the right understanding of truth. And so this is a time for everyone to assess our standing before God. Maybe you've never come to God before for salvation. Today's that day. Maybe in your past you made a profession of faith, you said a prayer, it never really went anywhere. Today is the day to come to God. Or believers, caught up with anxiety and worry, today, come to Him. Do something about it. As a church, we're still very much available in these days to speak with you. There will be something online that has primary contact details for the pastor, for myself, and for Billy. You'll find those phone numbers and other information, which I'll speak about in a few minutes. You'll find that on our website. Pick up the phone to me today. Or talk to the Lord directly yourself. But if you talk to me, I can absolutely point you towards a God who says, come. And come today. Although all of the focus so far this morning has been on the impact of COVID-19, the world is still spinning. Life must go on differently, but it must go on. And it's important to keep connected to any aspect of normal life that we can. Today we have just such an opportunity because, of course, today is Mother's Day. It's a day to celebrate and to show gratitude to women who have played a huge role in our life, either by bringing us into the world and raising us, or by showing motherly love and care and support to us. I'm always very conscious each Mother's Day too that there are many who this is a very difficult day for. There are those perhaps who, although not biologically, have had a chance to be called mother, but who have invested spiritually and emotionally providing love and care and sacrificing for others in a way that mothers do. There are many, many watching online right now, I'm sure, who today is a day of sadness because you've lost your mother. And whether or not it was recently or a long time ago, we know that that is never something that we really get past. The pain is always there. There are those as well, today's a hard day for those with unfulfilled desires to be a mother. My heart went out a couple of weeks ago whenever I read about the regional fertility center in Belfast and how couples had arrived with great hope for their treatments for that day and were told the treatment was indefinitely postponed. My heart goes out to those as well. Each of us, though, today, we are called to give thanks for that influence of mothers or those with a mothering nature who've influenced our lives. And so, ladies, can I also, as I finish up, can I challenge you to strive to be a woman who has that influence in the lives of your own children and in others? I'm going to read from Proverbs 31 that gives us a description of just such an influential woman. Proverbs 31, reading from verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. We thank the Lord for the blessing of our mothers. We pray for the comfort of those who would feel that loss today. We pray for the strength and heart of those who are feeling broken today also. And yet from these characteristics of the Proverbs 31 woman, we give praise for the many in our lives who exhibit those traits and who have had that influence and that blessing on us. And so just concluding this message, in the uncertainty of these days, God is firm. God is constant. His word is sure. His love is ever present. And he guarantees that anyone who comes to him, he will never cast out. Come to him while there's still time. Turn to him from your anxiety to lift your heart in praise and in trust, practicing the peace. I'm going to read just a verse or two as well from 10,000 Reasons, which we would have been closing with today. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name." I'll close in prayer and then just have a short announcement as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue to lift our hearts up to you, we pray, Father, that you would help us to draw near to you today. Be it to find saving grace, or be it to find strength in these days, Lord. help us to practice what Paul has challenged us with in Philippians, your word, that we would practice the peace of God, that we would fix our minds on you, that we would come to you in prayer. Lord, that you would guard our hearts and our minds in peace through Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Just by way of announcement then, there will not be a live stream service this evening. Instead, what we'll be doing is we are going to record a short video that will be uploaded tonight. And so it saves the risk again of having to come to do a separate message. But further than that, I very much believe at this time that so many of us have not taken the space to really process and to really to come aside with the Lord, to come to terms perhaps with these days. Perhaps we aren't even aware just of the heaviness that we're feeling. And so instead of bringing a new message or a new word tonight, the Lord really impressed on my heart to do something a bit more unusual. This is the day of the unusual, and so I'm actually quite excited by what this video will be tonight. The routine of attending church for 4 or 5 meetings in a week, at this time that has ceased. The danger of that routine was that we're very familiar with coming and listening and going away, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and maybe very little of it do we really personally focus on. And so the challenge and the opportunity now is not just to listen, but to really spend time ourselves getting into it prayerfully, applying it to our own hearts and practicing it in our everyday life. And so tonight's service is designed to lead you in pausing, in pondering, in prayerfully considering the truths that we've looked at this morning, and also in examining ways that we can respond, to listen to the Lord as to how we can be his hands and his feet. And so I'd encourage you to set time aside this evening, if that's what works for you, or another time during the week. You can download and listen at any point in time to fix your mind on it. Maybe a Tuesday night is what works best for you. I'd encourage you for that. I also need to say then that as a church, we've pulled together an info sheet. Many people have been asking us questions on how can we access past sermons. You'll find that answers to that on this and on the website. How can I continue to tithe? If I need pastoral support, who can I contact? How can I help? What are some of the practical needs that we can get involved with in our church and community at this time? We've pulled something together that will be on the website that has all of that information and contact details on it. And so do check that out. That is for everyone. Maybe you have a loved one who has no internet access. Print this off and give it to them. This might have information on it as well that will be a good help to each one. Lord willing, next Sunday, the pastor will be broadcasting a message, either live or it'll have been pre-recorded. But in the morning time, there will be a service that will be up online. At this point in time, and we recognize that this changes very quickly, but at this point, we do have an intention of doing a drive-in service here in the church car park. You won't get out of your car. You shouldn't get out of your car, but there will be speakers set up that you can come onto the car park at 4 p.m. That's 4 p.m. next Sunday. But do please keep an eye on the website, or we have a Facebook group as well that will confirm or change that as things happen this week as well. Thank you again for joining us this morning. Do encourage you to come back this evening with time set aside to really respond to the message. The video is designed as such as well that you can pause it and you can pray and process and then keep listening. It will be something different, but let me encourage you to avail of that either this evening or later on this week. God bless, take care, and we encourage you to do not cease in praying for yourself, for our church, for our community, and for our world at this time as well. God bless.